This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bikes. I'm here together with
Lily Chai.
Today, our discussion is about SMEs and financing challenges. I know that's something that's always a constant concern among SMEs. And if you have any thoughts around today's topic, as usual, you can let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter at BFM Radio. So yes, running a business is no easy feat, with financing and cash flow being a constant concern. The Edge Malaysia recently issued a cover story detailing how SMEs are struggling with loan repayments and applying for new loans. And this is amidst other issues such as raw material prices, inflation and labour shortages hampering potential growth. We'll be speaking to Dr. Mohamed Shahrin Madros, adjunct professor, UKM Graduate Business School, to understand the issues around SME financing. So as I was saying, the story in the Edge Malaysia revealed that many SMEs are finding a challenge to secure their loan repayments. Gong Lin Leung from the Associated Chinese Chambers of Commerce and Industry in Malaysia, ACCCIM, has shared that SMEs have been heavily impacted due to the pandemic. This has been compounded by current headwinds in the form of rising raw material prices, high operating costs, and I will also add, you know, distribution, and an acute labour shortage plaguing the market. This has resulted in cash flow issues for many businesses. Kong added many SMEs are in a bind as they may come to a point where they can no longer service the loans, yet their cash-strapped plight renders their businesses ineligible for new borrowings.
And business aids such as moratoriums and repayment assistance plans offered by banks during the pandemic period have ended, and lenders are still continuing to provide financial assistance schemes to those who still need it. And according to a survey done by the National Chamber of Commerce and Industry of Malaysia, slightly more than half of SME respondents are facing challenges when applying for working capital loans. And their survey also showed that 80% of micro enterprises and more than 60% of small enterprises get their loan applications rejected. And according to a senior banker in the article, banks may have tightened their lending criteria for SMEs, but this does not mean that businesses are not able to get financing. They are just more careful about their ability to collect on loans given out so that the cash flow cycles aren't affected. And SME space is being observed closely by financial institutions as it is an area of concern, especially those involved in the manufacturing industry. And they are worried that SMEs are facing collection issues, which could lead to cash flow being a problem as well.
So during the height of the pandemic, loan repayment assistance programs were extended to provide some breathing room for SMEs. But with the current climate of economic recovery, many businesses have not been able to go back to their normal repayment schedules. And this is an indicator that not everything is back to normal. So with the two OPR hikes that happened this year, banks are also cautious about pricing up SMEs that have taken on payment restructuring this challenging period. And despite all the challenges that SMEs are facing, banks are not expecting to see an increase in SME delinquencies for the short term. Clement Chua from Kenanga Research is of the opinion that there should be an increase in defaults. The impact on banks will be minimal as they're still somewhat protected by a substantial preemptive loan provision and management overlays that was made in the last 2 years. He explained most banks will want to abstain from performing write-backs until 2023, when hopefully clear and sustainable repayment trends are established, and this is the tone set by Bank Negara.
And data from Bank Negara Malaysia has shown that SME loans in the banking system grew 7% year-on-year in April, and this was mainly driven by the wholesale and retail trade sector. Li Hengui from the Social Economic Research Centre mentions that the bankability of SMEs have always been an issue due to their lack of proper documentation and financial statements as well. He proposes leveraging on their annual tax submissions to the Inland Revenue Board to assess their bankability and the creation of a centralised system for SMEs to synchronise their loan applications. And this could help plug the financial gaps that are affecting SMEs. He also offered a suggestion, which is to establish an alternative financing platform to gather non-bank equity and venture capital financing modes, innovative alternative financial instruments, whether based on debt, equity, or even invoice-based financing, will be critical in meeting the needs of high-growth businesses across various phases of their life cycle.
Yeah, Kung from ACCCIM also mentioned another issue that needs to be addressed, which is the mismatch between banking products and the needs of businesses. An example, a business may need a loan for automation and digitalization of its operations. Without a loan product tailored to this need, the business will have no choice but to take on a conventional working capital loan, and this will come at a high interest rate, which could eat into business margins. So banks are especially selective in today's market unless applicants can provide assurance of the ability to follow through with the repayment terms. They will not get the aid they need. So this is a problem because businesses will not be able to provide assurance due to their sales not picking up fast enough. And having gone through 2 years of pandemic and facing multiple headwinds such as high inflation, higher interest rates, and a geopolitical war, SMEs are unable to offer the confidence that banks need to disperse the needed financings.
Right, and there are some businesses that are favorable to banks such as furniture exporters as their products are in constant demand. And this means that banks will have no issue lending to this sector. And IT businesses selling computers and accessories will have no problems as well securing loans due to the rising demand of these products during the pandemic. But on the flip side, tourism and related industries face challenges when applying due to their high risk nature due to the pandemic. And Kong also notes that most SMEs are cash strapped and many businesses out there are operating on credit. And it is not that banks are unwilling to give up loans. First, with businesses facing a 60% cut in profitability, banks cannot just take the risk. And bear in mind that banks do not get a share of the business's profits. And when they give SMEs more time, banks need to recoup their principal fast.
So due to difficulties in getting loans from banks due to their circumstances, it's not surprising that many SMEs exploring alternative means of funding, as these alternative financing providers can offer faster turnaround times while having a less stringent approval process compared to banks. So things like peer-to-peer financing players such as Capital Bay and Fundastic have seen a rise in their SME financing applications this year. Jeff Tan, acting CEO of Fundastic, has acknowledged that more SMEs are aware of alternative financing due to pandemic and difficulties faced when applying for conventional financing. And he added factors such as lending base and potential repayments instead of historical track records, agility of fintech platforms, and quicker turnaround times as some of the reasons SMEs are reaching out to P2P financing platforms.
Right, and Ang Sing-sian, the CEO of CapBay, has mentioned seeing 40% more applications in the first quarter of this year compared to the fourth quarter of 2021. And he added, with bank moratoriums gradually tempering off, SMEs are looking towards other forms of financing. And a significant number of applicants are small companies with funding requests starting from 250,000 ringgit to 1 million with interest rates of 7% to 13%.
So we're asking this question to business owners. How is experiencing applying for loans or funding from financial institutions or alternative forms of financing? Has it been easy? We'd like your feedback around that. You can let us know via Twitter at BFM Radio or 018-789-8899. That's WhatsApp. Let us know what you think. And we'll be speaking to Dr. Mohamed Shahre Madros, adjunct professor at UKM Graduate Business School, to talk a little bit more about this. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Behind famous men. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. Frida Liu together with Lily Chai. We're talking about SMEs and their challenges in getting financing. You know, we've got this question for business owners. What was the experience applying for loans or funding from financial institutions or alternative forms of financing of late? Let us know via Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're here with Dr. Mohamed Shahre Madros, adjunct professor at UKM Graduate Business School, to understand the circumstances circumstances surrounding the challenges in financing SMEs today. So, Professor, thank you so much for staying with us. And to start us off, The Edge Malaysia reported that more SMEs are struggling with loan repayments and are asking for assistance. What can you tell us about this whole situation affecting SMEs currently?
If we were to look back more in a historical context, I think this whole scenario really arises because of the pandemic, yeah? And so, and that started really in the early of the 2020. So we have been living with this for the last 2 years. And if you remember in the first phase, if you like the first 6 months, there was a lot of hue and cry in terms of how it is impacting when we start doing the PKP, the movement control order. There's a lot of hue and cry in terms of how it impacts businesses. Physical movement being controlled, limited interaction. So it affects SME greatly more than others. Now, 2 years down the road, obviously the impact has kind of, I would say, realized greatly for those who could not survive. But at the same time, people learn how to go around it and people start using digital space to do businesses. So those that can adapt somehow manage to go through that phase. Those who did not adapt, you can see physical, especially enterprises, you go to shops out there. There are many that has closed down and all that. So it's very real. But overall, I think in the early days when SME Association did their survey, they were talking about a few hundred thousands of company impacted. I'm pretty sure now where we are, we have a total about 1.4 million thereabout SME registered. A huge number definitely has been impacted. But that's not accounting those that are enterprises, micro SMEs. There are in the order of around 4 to 5 million, and they are impacted even more so. So I think it's fair to say that the smaller enterprises and the SME has bared the most out of this pandemic. And lately, if you look at the last two quarters, this last quarter, our trade has improved tremendously with the opening up of our economy and all. Interestingly, if we were to look at the finer details of that, our trade contributed mainly by the mid-tier and the large corporation, whereas the SMEs contribute less than around 15% of our trade. So while trade has grown up, it would have good impact for the mid-tier and the large corporation. Unfortunately, it has not really, you know, given much assistance to the smaller players. So in a sense, what I'm saying is, damn, SME is still facing all the challenges, but it is slowly improving as with trade grows. It is slowly helping the situation, with trade improving and so on, and with opening up. And hopefully those that have survived will then, be in a better position to improve their businesses. Yeah.
It's quite the catch-22 situation at the moment, with businesses being unable to service their loans yet being ineligible for new financing due to their cash-strapped situation. And can you tell us how can financial institutions step forward to assist the SMEs?
Yeah, that is so very true. It is a catch-22 position where, I guess the compounding effect, yeah? I mean, when you are down and you can't have access to finance, it's a very, very difficult situation for most SME. That's true. But I guess this is where, we are not in the normal circumstances. And I think the financial institution at least has the obligation to look in the bigger perspective of things. By helping the SME, by looking back at what they are offering, it will only assist the business environment to grow, and that in return will help the banks and the financial institutions. So to me, personally, I think the banking sector, the financial sector, has to look beyond just immediate transactional way of doing business, financial assistance, but rather to look at more of a relationship development and look in a more medium to longer term of growing back the industry and help them to grow. And in return, the financial sector will then benefit more in the medium to longer term.
And how did the two OPR hikes this year affect the circumstances surrounding the plight of these SMEs are facing now?
I guess definitely any kind of hike that made the cost of borrowing higher will have a bad impact to any businesses. So in that sense, I think, you know, it was not a good thing for businesses. But we can understand that the logic behind the hikes is really to control the inflation. And this is driven not just internally with America raising their interest rate to control their inflation. That also impact global economy and therefore our country. The bigger picture, the country has to manage its inflation and also the need to raise the OPR. So in this sense, I think there's two sides of it. One is looking at the macroeconomy situation of the country, and the other side is to understand the micro aspect of the impact of higher cost of finance to the smaller players. And this is where I think government and government agencies can play a very important role in managing or in balancing this two ends of the spectrum. Yeah, I think the bigger players, although they are impacted in terms of higher cost of borrowing, but they are in a better position to shoulder that price increase. On the other hand, for the smaller players, it can be very disastrous. So this is where I think government assistance is going to be very important in terms of just sustaining them to basically weather the current scenario before the economy get back on its track.
One of the issues brought up was the mismatch between banking products and the needs of businesses. Do you see banks taking preemptive steps to look into evolving business needs and tailoring to their products accordingly?
Unfortunately, I do not see that as much as we would like. But we have to understand that this is not a normal scenario. So while banks, as much as they might want to do it, they also have a concern in terms of their own business performance. So to answer you directly on that, I wish there's a lot more proactive from the financial sector to do their bit. But this is where I guess the good coordination between agencies and financial sectors and the business segments has to work together to understand each other's needs. Yeah, because I think there's no two way about it. Everyone needs to work together in order to brace through this tough situation.
Thanks, Professor. We've got more questions for you, so do stay on the line and to understand a little bit more about the situation. And of course, you know, do stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Books, figurines, movies. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Good afternoon, Frida Liu here. If you've just joined us, we're talking about SMEs and the challenge in getting financing. Of course, we're here getting the expert thoughts from Dr. Mohamed Shahrin Madros, adjunct professor at UKM Graduate Business School. Thanks for staying on the line. Doc, loan repayment assistance programs were extended during the height of the pandemic. In hindsight, should there have been a more robust long-term plan in place before these programs were ended?
If history is our judge, I think we've been very, if you like, reactive, yeah, and understandably, because nobody could foresee the COVID-19 has this kind of impact. But yes, I think we need to have a mechanism where we could, you know, go through this kind of economic situation. You know, that there's no guarantee that this is not going to happen again in the future. So hopefully lesson learned from the past two situations that we went through that impacted the businesses. You know, agencies, like at one point in time, there was Dana Harta, Dana Jamin, you know, government agencies with funding to help ease the business condition. I think that is something that we should seriously look at. And I think there must be a mechanism, a process where we can capture the lesson learned and how to manage whenever you have this kind of scenario coming in. you know, what are the things that we could do? I think this is something that, you know, all stakeholders should come together and, you know, provide their input, how effective to really sustain the well-being of the people, at the same time, managing the economy.
Okay. Besides the traditional loans offered by banks, are there other avenues for financing that businesses perhaps can look into?
Definitely there are, but I guess it also depends on which industry segments we are in. You know, we have always, other than the conventional banking and financial sector, there's always a good source on private investment, you know, all the white knights and all those private funds that's available. But of course, with the current situation, most of these funds will be very choosy in terms of looking at the best that environment has to offer. So in this sector, it's not surprising if you look that, yes, there are funding, but I would say not necessarily in the F&B sector, unfortunately, because that's where the bulk of the smaller players are. But definitely in sectors like, you know, technology sectors, drones and all those furnitures and you know, higher value segments, then potentially they will be able to access to all this private funding. But for the bulk of the F&B, unfortunately, I think they're going to be dependent quite a bit from you know, government and agencies to support them.
While the government has come forward with various initiatives to aid businesses during these challenging times, has it been implemented effectively and is it enough?
Well, it's never enough. Yeah, you know, I think everything good is never enough. But I mean, the reality is always this, right? The reality is financial tools assistance meant to nudge you, not to make you complacent. That's one thing. Have we been effective? That's a separate issue altogether. You know, the challenge has always been this. We have been good in terms of, at least the government and, you know, Malaysia in general, we've been good in terms of quite quick in terms of reacting to the needs and giving the support. But, you know, like any other developing nation, you know, our pocket is not bottomless. So there's a limit that you can continue the kind of assistance. And of course, the assistance needs to also be targeted in terms of those that really has the potential or really serious in their business, not just every Tom, Dick and Harry just to be dependent for the sake of being dependent. So this is where the challenge is. How do we know that we are targeted? How do we know that, you know, we are giving to those who are truly deserving? How do we know that these are the sectors we can use in terms of to nudge our economy towards a certain direction so that we can change the makeup of our economy composition, if you like? You know, like someone said, you know, every difficult situation, there's always an opportunity to it. Yeah? It depends on how you frame the situation. So while pandemic can be, you know, a tough time, but it's also an opportunity to really look at our economy and see how do we nudge the economy towards a certain direction that we want. So the crux in all of this, to answer your question, is have we been effective? Depends on do we have a good process of tracking, knowing the outcome, managing the process, and look at the output in terms of the performance. I do not see that, you know, in place to really say that we have been effective or not. Because, you know, if you look at the way we've been doing things is we looked at the economy and Department of Statistics will give all the output of the statistics. They may have all the detailed information, but we are quite a distance in terms of really knowing which company, who they are, what's their trajectory in terms of the last 5 years' performance. You know, what do they do? I mean, those kind of granular information is required. And that requires a good tracking. And this is where the irony is. We are in Industry 4.0 with big data, with artificial intelligence. We need to be using all those tools to create a system so that we can at least understand by giving, you know, any form of assistance and subsidy, whether we are effective or not. currently, I'm not aware of any system that we have that would be able to give that kind of output. Yeah. So at best, all we can say is look at our quarterly performance and see what is the aggregated overall performance of the economy rather than how does it impact the individual businesses, whether they are micro or the SMEs, and whether for every dollar we put in, are they able to survive or not? I think that requires a bit more work. And I think, transparency along those kind of information will be very useful in terms of guiding policymakers in terms of what we can do to steer our economy forward.
Final question. What are some measures you would like to see being taken to help SMEs out there currently facing this situation?
We need to be quite strategic in terms of when we say we want to help an industry. It is not just about helping an industry, but rather shaping the economic makeup. You know, having bulk of our SMI, SME in just F&B sector, personally, I think F&B is an easy entry into doing business, but it's not necessarily the higher value sector that our country needs to move towards. So my take in all of this is really, I think, as a nation, as a country, we need to be strategic in terms of how we shape our economy. And when we talk about helping the SME, we need to help the industry, not just by just giving finance, but rather by steering them towards an industry segment that has high value, that has high potential to take us as a country into a different economic segment, not just the same economic sector that we will be competing with the rest of the region. So you know, with all this regional integration, you know, our F&B industry will compete with the F&B of our regional countries, our neighbors. And if we do not have any advantages in terms of cost of labor, in terms of cheap ingredients and you know, cheap resources, it's hard for us to compete in the same corner. So bear that in mind, that where we are heading with the globalization, with the regional integration, helping the SME is not just about subsidy. Helping the industry, helping the SME is more on helping them to steer into a higher value economy. That's how we should help our SME. And this is where the role of the agencies and the government is going to be crucial because, you know, they should have the data to look the bigger perspective. They should understand the competition and also the regional composition that we are going to be involved in. After all, you know, the government and the agencies are the one that's pushing us towards all these regional economic cooperation and so on. So, you know, it's only a natural thing that while you go towards integration, you need to also shape the industry to be able to survive in those kind of integrated economy. At the same time, the financial sector is going to be crucial. The financial sector is going to should understand the changes that's happening. The communication between the policymaker and the financial sector to provide the necessary funding is going to be crucial. And the last point will be, you know, the human capital. We cannot do this if we don't have the right human capital. The retraining of all the SMEs towards the higher added value segment is going to be crucial. I would say my last take is really, I mean, this whole thing needs to be looked in a more systemic manner rather than just a reactive manner.
Thank you. And that was Dr. Mohamad Shahri Madros, adjunct professor at UKM Graduate Business School, sharing his thoughts about SMEs and the issues of financing. Well, we've come to the end of Enterprise BizBucks. And of course, after the news at 1 p.m., it'll be the Breakfast Girl replay. And of course, we'll be back again tomorrow, Frida Liu, together with Lily Chai for Enterprise BizBucks. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.